Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
More and more people are joining the ranks of citizen scientists. How do ordinary people work to help scientists on projects worldwide, and why? Let's go in depth with Paul Wyhe, professor of biology at Central College, Pella. So, Paul, you were telling me that more and more average, everyday citizens are getting involved with science. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and in recent months and years, I've been noticing there are more and more of these projects that are inviting ordinary people to get involved with real scientific research, to collect data, to get involved with making observations that are going to help us understand the world and the universe better. It's really pretty intriguing how this has mushroomed recently.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, one of the ones that I've been involved with myself is known as iowater. And it's a cooperation between the state government and ordinary citizens who can go out to their local stream or lake and monitor the water quality, look at the organisms living there, take some simple measurements of the stream condition and so forth. And we've been doing this for years, and the data are collected, and you know it's available and used by people who are understanding changes in water quality and our water resources in Iowa. And there are all sorts of these projects around Iowa and across the world.
Well, that example that you've come up with, I've also seen in our local schools, they're teaching some of that water sampling. So I think in like seventh grade, I've seen some of our schools do so. It's probably not that complex. So most of us could probably handle the gathering of the data and the recovery of the information, right?
Right. And so the idea of doing it with school teachers in particular is great, because once you train the teacher in the standardized protocol and you provide them, in the case of iowater, you provide them free with some simple equipment and supplies so they can make their observations the same way everybody else in the network is doing, then you can, you know, year after year, class after class, you can get the same repeated measurements and you can look for those changes. But many of these things don't require any equipment at all. You just need everyone on the same page following the same methodology, and year after year we can get valuable data.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Paul Wyhe, professor of biology at Central College. Well, and what do the scientists get from this broad participation?
I've seen a number of studies that have looked at, for example, changes in the migration patterns of birds or monarch butterflies. We discovered what they eat, where they rest, where they breed. I know that folks over in physics and so forth have used people's computers, their desktop computers. They borrow them when they're downtime, and they'll analyze huge data sets, and we can look for patterns in radio waves coming from outer space, and on and on and on. But we're, in particular, we're learning about the natural world. Since I'm an ecologist, I'm most familiar with those. There are all sorts of really interesting things to look at, changes in frogs, you know, and other amphibians. We're worried about their numbers and their decline. We can learn about changes in the weather and climate, and it's really helpful for us to understand what's going on around us.
Okay, so when I go out fishing over the weekend or something, I could make some observations on water quality or frogs and add to my fishing experience?
Well, you can certainly do that as a private citizen, absolutely. But if you want to be part of one of these broader projects, you really need to follow the protocol that's been established. And there's a great tradition of ordinary people being scientists and saying, I want to study such and so in my way, and I'm going to report the results, or not, if I feel like it. And that's great. That's a wonderful thing. But if you want to be part of one of these broader efforts, you really need to standardize and do it the same way as everyone else. That makes the data that we collect much more valuable, because we're all measuring the same thing in the same way, and we can compare the results place to place, year to year.
Well, I guess we could. I guess I was just suggesting that we might embed those kinds of observations in our sort of normal outdoor activities.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? And some of these projects literally in your own backyard. And so you can walk out to your own bird feeder, you can look at your own flowering tree, and you can make measurements right there. And it's something you would, you know, sit out with a cup of coffee in the morning and watch. And so it would be part of your regular life.
Well, I'm part of something really big, a big, important scientific study, too. That's sort of cool.
I think it's pretty exciting.
I've heard a lot about the Christmas bird count. Is that one of these projects?
Yeah, and that's one of the oldest of these. That goes back over 100 years, actually 114 years, I believe. 1900 was the first one. Yeah, so some of these have been around quite a while, and that's one that's given us a lot of really useful data in the changes in bird migrations and bird numbers from year to year.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Paul Wyhe, professor of biology at Central College. What does the individual get out of this? Let's just say the average citizen.
I think for most people, it first of all, it gives them an excuse. You know, it's like, oh, I really ought to get outside more. Well, now you have a reason if that helps you to get outside and do that. I think for me, it really helps me to understand science more deeply when I actually have my hands on it and I'm doing it. And so it helps me understand the world around us and so forth. And I personally, and I think a lot of people feel this way, you want to feel like you're doing something meaningful, like you're part of something bigger than yourself, that you're contributing to society. And these programs are, because you're one of a network of people doing something important.
And then do you get access to the results, too?
A lot of these programs do. They'll actually have a web page. Some of them are in real time. You can actually see the changes occurring on a map of the United States, for example.
Well, is this a bunch of different things coming together at the same time, or is this sort of a broader kind of organizational push?
I think it's some of both. Partly, it's a recognition on the part of scientists that this is valuable and that people want to help and can. And so there's that understanding that there's this opportunity. And partly it's because we have much better tools for doing this, in particular the internet. The fact that we can provide people with information and an easy way for them to provide their observations to the scientists and then be able to show them, you know, with data visualization tools, maps and charts and so forth, be able to share what we're learning. All of that, the capabilities are there. Nowadays, I understand they're developing things that, you know, your handheld device, an app for your smartphone, and you'll be able to make observations or learn about the things around you in real time with this thing you can put in your pocket. So the technology, I think, is really helping to bring it to people and make it more exciting.
Well, sure, 50, 60 years ago, you would have probably never heard about it. If you had made the observations, you'd had to make them and send them in on a letter, and then the scientist probably wouldn't have had a computer to process the information, couldn't have done it, and then couldn't have yielded any meaningful results without years of calculation, computation, et cetera. It just couldn't have happened until now, right?
I think you're right. Yeah, and not right exactly. Not the way we can now.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I've got my field guide to birds on my smartphone. I guess the next step is to have an app where it records what I actually see, and then somehow they would record that kind of information for the Christmas bird count, maybe?
I know people are working on those, and I'm not an expert in that area, but I know people are working on just those sorts of apps to make it easier, more standardized, and it's exciting what they're able to do with the technology.
Well, and you were telling me that the Ecological Society of America is sort of getting behind this, too.
Yeah, I just went to the annual meeting within the last month, and I was amazed. There must have been at least a dozen of these projects that are being featured. The Society itself has an education office, and they have one of these that are trying to recruit and invite citizens to be involved with it. And the data collection is up and going, and they're already producing some interesting results that, again, you can see right now on the web.
Is there any particular place that we can go to learn more about this?
You know, the internet is there. I particularly like the Scientific American website. They have a really nice series of sort of annotated vignettes on citizen science projects that describe what they're doing and how you can get involved. So if you go to scientificamerican.com, go to their citizen science link, you can read more about it. Audubon and the bird folks at the Cornell Lab, if you go to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, they have all sorts of citizen science projects, and they sponsored the original Christmas Bird Count. So the bird folks have been at it a long time, and a lot of neat stuff they're doing along with birds.
But the frog project would just be one of many that other people might be interested in, right? There's a wide variety of them.
Right. And what's nice is these projects run the gamut in terms of the specific training or the apparatus and you know, how you physically do this. So, for example, the frog watch specifically, you use your ears. That's the scientific device that you're using to make these measurements. And so for frog watch, you go out to your local pond, lake, whatever it might be, in the evening at the right time of year, and you literally cup your hands behind your ears and listen for a set amount of time in a certain way, and you go to the web to learn the calls, and then you can identify what you're actually hearing, and you're going to write down the date, the time, the weather, and you're going to standardize those observations. But all you need is a notebook and your ears with your hands cut behind them.
So I don't have to chase frogs around the pond?
No. Although you can. It's fun.
All right. Okay, and do you embed this kind of research into the curriculum somehow at Central?
Yeah, I've been learning more about these projects in recent years, and I've started doing them a little bit in my own classes, my ecology class and my environmental science class. And what's nice is we can contribute to something bigger than Central College, something that's a broader effort, and yet it's great for the curricular, you know, the teaching goals that I have. I want my students to have hands-on experience with these various types of protocols and tests and so forth. It's great for student research projects. They can have their own take on it, and they can, you know, pick the sites, and they can have some ownership of the project. So it's a lot of fun for teaching.
Well, it also sounds like, I mean, everybody likes to get their younger kids out into the natural world, but it sounds like sort of an interesting structured educational activity that doesn't take a lot of training that would be fun, like sitting on the back porch with your kids listening to frogs. That just sounds like a lot of fun to me.
I think so. I think this could be something people could do as a hobby. I think it'd be great to do with your scout group or your church youth group. You know, I would think this would be something that would engage all ages and all sorts of people, just getting them out and doing something fun that has this use to it.
Yeah, and for a variety of outdoor structures. I mean, just walking and listening and watching wildlife and appreciating nature is wonderful. But then if by doing that and embedding it in one of these other kinds of scientific causes, that adds a whole other dimension to it.
Isn't it great?
Do you think that it would help kids understand how science works then it's not such an abstract concept?
That's one of the things that appeals to me about it, because I can tell somebody about the scientific method and they can nod and, you know, agree with me and understand it at some level. But you truly understand it a little bit more when you get into the hands-on activities and, frankly, some of the frustrations and the joys of doing it yourself. You understand what it really means to do science in the real world.
Well, it's interesting that you're doing science as part of a family activity, too, or, as you said, church group or youth group or scout group. It's a lot better than kids sitting at home playing on video games.
Don't get me started.
So do you think that this is something that's going to grow into the future?
I can only see this getting bigger and bigger, because we have more and more, like I said, developing technologies to allow us to make observations and report them and see the results in real life in your hand. I think that's going to get more people involved. And as we learn more about the natural world, we'll be able to develop even more interesting questions, know what we should be looking for, and do that much better science.
Thanks to Paul Wyhe for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.